This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
What's going on, and welcome to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Prater and the Ball Game. We are Idaho Sports Talk. I'm Johnny Ballgame. That's JP. He's kicking it right here in the Datatel studio, ready to go, ready to press all the perfect buttons at all the correct times tonight. JP, I feel a perfect game coming from you, my friend. I love it.
Haven't messed it up yet.
And my partner, JP, and my partner, this guy's been to 5 Rose Bowls. Pretty cool. His name is Mike Prater, and we're going to get after it for the next 3 hours like we do. We want you to be a part of it, so you can call or text us, our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline, 208-424-9300. Cloverdale Plumbing, shout out to you guys for texts as well. Okay, Mr. Rose Bowl, how are we doing today? What's up?
7 Rose Bowls ball game. Seven.
Oh, it's 7.
7 Rose Bowls, my friend.
I messed that up, JP. 5 Rose Bowls. I thought, okay, even better. A big fat John Elway worth of Rose Bowls.
There you go.
Pretty cool deal, and obviously some college football. We're going to be talking today. The newest CFP poll will be released during hour number 3 of this program. We're going to go back in a time machine for a very important anniversary today. Anniversary in Boise State football. We'll have a very familiar name joining us this hour who's played quarterback for that program. And of course, Bob Beeler always this hour as well. Paul Petrino's going to swing on by, talk about the Battle of the Domes, Prater. Idaho, Idaho State, a little Petrino action today. And catching up with an Idaho Steelhead. I love talking to hockey guys, Will Merchant of the Steelies. And tomorrow, Prater, I've been nervous. I've been thinking about it all day. I make my debut as the Wednesday public address announcer at the ICA for the Idaho Steelheads tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm going to get some sleep tonight. I can promise you that.
Be prepared, ball game. Do your homework. Be prepared. Take your pronunciation guide with you and make magic happen. Don't overthink it. You're a pro. You're going to be fantastic. There's only going to be a bunch of family and friends in the arena and a whole bunch of peers, professional peers, going to be listening to you make your debut. No reason to be nervous, ball game. I can't wait. And we're going to celebrate tomorrow, not to get too ahead of ourselves, by bringing on Mr. Hockey himself, who has confirmed with us that he is going to be KTIK's lone hockey representative. He's going to be our hockey correspondent for this season. He's going to join us tomorrow. He's going to join us later on. He's going to join us for the playoffs. Ball game. Who do we have tomorrow?
How about Barry Melrose? I mean, I don't even think you have to be a hockey expert to know who the mullet is. Barry Melrose, he's been on this show a few times last year. He's going to come on and help us throughout this hockey season, and he's starting, like you said, Prater, tomorrow. Barry Melrose is going to... He's going to make me more nervous about my PA gig, I think. I can't wait to hear what he's going to say about it. I know he's going to say something kind of sarcastic. It's typical Melrose, but yeah, not to get too far ahead. But tomorrow's going to be fun with Melrose.
One last point about tomorrow before we dive in today, because we are fired up about today. Tomorrow, do you realize tomorrow, our guest tomorrow will include, and I like to steal your phrase every now and then, this is why you listen to Idaho Sports Talk. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Barry Melrose and a couple of locals by the name of Khalil Shakir, George Halani, and J.L. Skinner. That's our guest list tomorrow.
It's a pretty damn good trifecta.
Are you serious?
Yep, that's a pretty damn good trifecta. I don't know if I can match that, but I can come close, because today, you listeners, you're going to hear from Kekaula Kaniho and Riley Wimpy, two of the super seniors in... Heck, they're officially out of eligibility after this year. And
we think
Saturday night.
We've all been doing the math, we think.
Probably going to be their last time on the Blue. So we'll have a little bit of that during Bronco Focus. Prater, let's start about this today because, you know, most people know my story here. I think you guys could tell by listening to me that I know a fair amount about Boise State football. But I wasn't there for a lot of it. Certainly when this program went from FCS to FBS, which was at the time 1AA to 1A. 1996 was that first season. And Prater, I've studied it. I've talked to players who are on those teams and stuff, but I wasn't there. You were. And on this date, it was a Saturday, November 16th, 1996, a very special moment and anniversary. And just trying to think of something else. And just a wonderful day for this program, and sad news was coming, but it certainly wasn't that day. You take the baton from me on this one, celebrating something special today.
I think it's the most emotional night, the most emotional day, the most emotional 24 hours in the history of Boise State football. And when I say emotions, I know that the Fiesta Bowl was an emotional night, but that's not the word that comes to me when I think of the Fiesta Bowl. When I think of November 16th, 1996, Las Cruces, New Mexico, Boise State against New Mexico State, I think of emotions, and I think of nothing but emotions. That's the night that Pokey Allen, the late, great, beloved Pokey Allen, won his only, and I realize it wasn't called FBS then, as Johnny just pointed out. He won his only FBS football game as a head football coach on this day 25 years ago. It was a bad, bad scene, but it was an emotional scene at the end of the night ball game, and it really lasted an entire week. We have Tony Hilde going to join us at 3:15, and Tony Hilde was the quarterback on that football team. Tony Hilde led Boise State with three touchdown passes. Tony Hilde threw the game-winning touchdown pass with, I think, 4 seconds left. I believe it was the very last play of the game. There may have been a kickoff after that. Tony Hilde and Pokey Allen, to this day, are still married at the hip in terms of blood brothers, emotional brothers, brothers going to battle on and off the football field. It was a very tumultuous time in the history of Boise State athletics, a big transition year. Pokey Allen was dying of cancer, and we knew that from about the year and a half before. Pokey Allen coached the 1995 season as an FCS program, and then later on in the offseason in the summer, I think it was July or August of 1996, he got a remission of his cancer. It was rhabdomyosarcoma. It was a tissue cancer in his arm, his upper arm, and he had to take a leave of absence in 1996. So Tom Mason comes on as the defensive coordinator, and he becomes the interim head football coach and proceeds to go 1-9. He beat Portland State in an early season game, and then Boise State was on a school record 8-game losing streak. I believe that school record might even still exist. I'd have to double check that. Doesn't matter. That week started the Sunday night before with Pokey Allen flying from Vancouver, British Columbia to Boise in a late afternoon, late night Sunday flight. He was in Vancouver doing experimental treatments, and he basically told his doctor, "I'm out of here. I'm going to go coach a football game." And he flew to Boise that Sunday night, where he was met by the media. Another very, very emotional night.
You were there.
And Pokey Allen showed up to work the next Monday morning and proceeded to try to beat a football team and went to work trying to coach a football team. And the next Saturday, this football team flew. Well, Friday they flew to Las Cruces, New Mexico, and on Saturday they played this football game. Pokey Allen was not anywhere in a position to be coaching a football game. Talking to Paul J. Schneider, he did his pregame interview in the locker room, laying on a couch in a prone position because he didn't have the energy to go out there and do it. He was trying to save himself. It was a very, very, very desperate time. Everybody knew, we're going to try to get Pokey Allen a victory. That's the whole motive of this entire week, of this entire day, of why Pokey told his doctor and checked out of his hospital bed and said, "I'm going to go win a football game. I just need to win a football game." And that's what he wanted to do. And it really seemed like a desperate time. It seemed like a nervous time. And they went out there and played like it. New Mexico State still was today, and was then, one of the worst football teams in the history of college football. Look at that fancy little column that I wrote that day. I gave that to you, ballgame.
I have it in my hand right now.
Worst Division I team in America. Well, guess what? Boise State was a close second. And at the end of the halftime, at one point in the second quarter, Boise State was losing 20-7. In the third quarter, Boise State was losing 26-21. New Mexico State scores with less than a minute to go to take a 32-27 lead. And all of a sudden, Boise State had one more drive, one more chance. And they were not an inspired football team that day. They did not look good that day. They were struggling that day. And then the magic happened, ballgame. The miracle happened. A long, long touchdown, or a long, long kickoff return, one incomplete pass, and then Tony Hilde threw a pass to Ryan Akibi for the winning touchdown, and Pokey Allen won his only FBS football game. It was touch and go at the time during that celebration. Another player on the sideline accidentally elbowed him in the chest, and he fell over in pain. Later on, said he thought he was going to die right there on the sideline.
Wow.
Because he was all morphed up and medicated up and bottled up and everything he was. I mean, he was a dying cancer patient. A week later, he played the Idaho Vandals. We'll talk about that a week from today, the 25th anniversary of that game. And then on December 30th, 1996, Pokey Allen, at about 4 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, passed away from his battle with cancer, and he had the one Division I victory.
6 weeks after.
Yep.
And I'm reading this article you wrote, Prater, and you ended the article with, after all, Pokey Allen is a miracle man.
It's very, very odd. And the column that I wrote that day was just all about his aura. And his aura was all about that week. Everybody said, he's back. The aura's back. The magic is back. Pokey had an aura. If anybody was a Boise State football fan around here in the 1990s, whether he was riding elephants, promising stunts, beating Boise State with his Portland State team, Pokey Allen had an aura about him. He was a very popular man. Here's an example. The week before the New Mexico State game, they ran a play, a trick play, Tom Mason did, and it just completely blew up. Pokey Allen called that exact same play after New Mexico State went for its winning touchdown, go-ahead touchdown, and there was 43 seconds left. It was a reverse. Andre Horace, I believe, was his
name. Andre Horace and Ryan Akibi.
Ryan Akibi. It was a reverse, and it worked. It didn't work for Tom Mason the week before. The exact same play worked for Pokey Allen that night. And they took that kickoff down to the 22-yard line, 23, 24-yard line, somewhere in there. I think I talk about it. And then that's where Tony Hilde's incomplete pass came, and then that's where Tony Hilde's game-winning pass came. Pokey Allen had this crazy, crazy miracle aura about him. That's what made him so beloved. He was more beloved as a human being than he was as a football coach.
It's crazy. You're right, because I've heard so many great Pokey Allen stories, and hardly any of them have to do with X's and O's. In fact, none of them do. They're all just like he was the guy that wanted you, you know, you had to be first one to give him a hug because he was going to beat you to that punch. He was going to hug you first. And, you know, I've looked at some pictures. I did some some research today and prepping for this segment and all this stuff and just Google imaging him and seeing pictures and reading articles. And, you know, you never know, but, I mean, how do you say, because you were covering these games. I mean, love it, Prater. We're going back reading Prater's articles, his game stories back then, when game stories were legit, because not many people were watching the game. A game story was a big thing, Prater, and I love going back and reading this. And how beneficial, how responsible, like how, you know, with Pokey Allen, the groundwork that however he laid or at least did something in getting this program fired up or getting this program, giving this program some love and some emotion and having this fan base think about other stuff rather than football at the time, knowing that their coach was battling for his life and being able to put a lot of things into perspective. You know, you'd want to give him credit, Tony Hilde credit, Bronco Nation at that time credit for what this program has become 25 plus years later.
Tough times between 1993 and 1997. And, you know, they went to the national championship in 94 under Pokey Allen. That was the high. Obviously, this game and this week and next week was the low. And it wasn't so much playing for Pokey Allen or knowing he was a great guy. They were playing for a dude, and I don't mean to be morbid here, but they were playing for a dude who they knew in the next couple of weeks was going to be dead.
It's crazy, man.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that ball game. And we can talk about that 25 years later, and it still hits home, and it's still emotional. I can't imagine what it was like for that football team. 1995 was a disaster of a football season. They opened up the season ranked number one in the nation coming off that national championship year, and it got bad. I know I got involved with all the media stuff. Tony Hilde and I did not talk for 2 years. 1995 season.
He shunned you. He said, I am not talking to that Prater.
Well, no, in the 1995 season, the entire team voted not to talk to me. The 1996 season, Tony Hilde collectively on his own decided to do that. Tony Hilde and I have talked twice since he had that band. That night after that game, he wanted to talk about Pokey Allen, and then we had him on the air about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember exactly. I think he had a big-time baseball team, and he's now the baseball coach at Eagle High School, I believe. We can confirm that he's still there, and we had him on. I've talked to him twice in 30 years, once after that New Mexico State game, and I want to talk to him about that today because I went up to him, and I said, I know you're not talking to me, but let's talk Pokey Allen. And he gave me a couple of answers that I don't even remember what he said. I'm not sure he knows what he said. Let's talk to Tony Hilde right now because he was the big part of that. There's pictures out there of Tony and Pokey. They were brothers. They were brothers from another mother. Those two absolutely loved each other. I don't know if I've ever seen a relationship between a coach and a player more so than Tony Hilde and Pokey Allen.
He's going to join us next on the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. We're Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ballgame. Go to KTIK.com. Check out our sweet bids. These are live bids happening on our website right now. You get a ton of cool stuff on there. So just go to KTIK.com, find the sweet bids. You'll do that, and we'll get Tony Hilde with us. Great Bronco quarterback right here on KTIK.
Sweet Bids is live now at KTIK.com. Bid on local items like furniture, art, firearm classes, wedding photography, even mattresses, plus exotic cruises and vacations. You bid, you save. Sweet Bids now at KTIK.com. Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame remembers one of the most beloved coaches in Boise State history, Pokey Allen. On the 25th anniversary of his final Boise State football victory, November 16th, 1996, against New Mexico State.
Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ballgame. Let's have some fun with this one. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline joining us. Former Boise State quarterback, the pride of Pendleton, Oregon, the great Tony Hilde hanging out with us. Tony, it's been a while since we've chatted as well. Can't wait to talk some football and some memories with you. How you been, man?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing really well. Excited to talk about some, obviously, some big moments in the history of Boise State football. We'll start with that. On this date, Tony Hilde, November 16th, 1996, obviously, a very special day for you. You guys defeated New Mexico State, got Pokey Allen his only FBS victory. What does that mean to you?
A lot more than I think a lot of people remember. You know, it was there was a lot of firsts. I was reminiscing last night, and there was a lot of firsts with Pokey, and we were his first freshman class and his last senior class. And so, you know, he told us the vision, and he foresaw where it was going. And I wish he could have experienced more of the hard work that he put into to building the program. But there was something special that day. And I remember crying. I remember how it felt at halftime. And just the fact that we were able to give him something and something to remember, and we all knew how important that day was for the program and for Pokey.
25 years ago today in Las Cruces, New Mexico, Pokey Allen, former Boise State quarterback or coach, won his first and only FBS football game on a last-second play involving our guest right now, Tony Hilde, the quarterback. Tony, before we get too far ahead about this game, I just wanted to talk to you about Pokey Allen, period. The magic, the aura, what made him special, what made him different, just the big picture. Let's get away from that day for a second. What do you think about when you think about Pokey Allen?
Just, he had a plan, and he had the ability to bring in really great coaches. He let coaches coach, and he had a vision for this program. I mean, I remember coming in and he came to my house the night before Christmas, and he and Al Borges and Tom Mason, they got in a car and drove through a snowstorm to come to my house, and they said, you're gonna be a part of something, and you're gonna help build a top 25 program. And I remember I decommitted from Oregon and came here because I wanted to play for these guys. And I remember going into his office and seeing the stadium of what it looked like or what it would look like. And he had a vision with Gene Blamire, and man, they pulled it off.
Tony, let's talk about that week. I don't know how much detail you remember. The whole week started that Sunday night before the New Mexico State game, where he flew from Vancouver, B.C., where he was having those experimental treatments, to Boise that night. He met the media that night, and then Monday morning, I think he showed up and went to work. When Pokey Allen, you know, I hate to say it, but a dying Pokey Allen walks into the office to go to work to win a football game, what did that do to you guys?
Oh, it was who he was, and just how important this program meant to him. And I don't think he ever thought he was going to lose the battle of cancer.
No, he didn't. And, yeah, you're right.
And he just we saw how important it was to him, and he was more to us than a coach. And I mean, just how close we still are as a group because of what he did for us. He was more than a coach, and his ability to fight was something that I've never seen before, and I don't know if I'll see again. I still, to this dying day, he felt like he was going to win that battle, and he was going to coach here for a lot of years. And so we saw he was a shell of himself, but he didn't coach us any less when he was, you know, had no energy and lost 40 pounds. I know you remember the size of the tumor that was on the front of him, and he didn't let it define him.
Tony Hilde hanging out with us, played for the great Pokey Allen, and sharing memories. We're celebrating the anniversary today, November 16th, when Pokey Allen won the first FBS game in the history of this program, I think, right? Which is a great deal. Or it's the second game, first for Pokey Allen, obviously, what we're talking about. How proud, in your opinion, Tony, would have Pokey Allen been to see what's happened the next 25 years at this program, knowing how big a part he was of it when he took the gig in 1993?
I think he's still watching over the program. I mean, I was thinking about it last night, and just the recruiting class that he brought in with Bart Hendricks and Shenard Hartz. I mean, those guys are great in the program history, and those were his guys. And he really started it all. There's been a lot of great coaches come through here, and there's no doubt about it, but I feel like he's as big a piece as anybody, because he was finally able to recruit the Division I caliber player. And I truly think he would have been here for a lot of years. He had a vision for it. And even on his dying day, he brought in guys that never slowed down. They only kept that upward trajectory, and he was a big part of that.
Talking to former Boise State quarterback Tony Hilde, threw for 267 yards and 3 touchdown passes, all to Ryan Akibi 25 years ago today, as Pokey Allen won his only FBS football game. Tony, let's dive back into the last 43 seconds of that football game. It all started off with that trick play, which you ran a week before under Tom Mason, and it didn't work. And in this particular case, Akibi and Andre Horace did the reverse, and they set you guys up on the 22-yard line. You had the one incomplete pass and then the game-winning touchdown to Ryan there at the very, very end. What do you remember about that reverse? What do you remember about the incomplete pass? And then let's talk about the game winner.
Yeah, it was all kind of like a surreal moment of, I never ever felt like we were going to lose that game. I knew it was going to work itself out. And, you know, I know, to be honest with you, I felt like, you know, somebody was over watching us, because, you know, Ryan and I were two freshmen that played together and kind of came out of red shirt our freshman year. And he said, you guys are going to take some blows, but it's going to pay off in the end. And when it was all said and done, I'm very thankful that it ended up in Ryan's hands. He deserved that moment. And I think Ryan and I were kind of the two guys that he brought in to help start this thing. And I'm glad it ended with he and I.
Ryan, as you know, and I've never talked to you about this, and, you know, you and I did not see eye to eye in that 95 and 96 season. You didn't talk to me for those two seasons. And the only reason I want to bring this up is because I walked up to you after that victory as you were walking up that concrete ramp by yourself, and you were crying. And I was nervous as hell because I didn't know what to do. We literally had not talked for 2 years. And I walked up and said, Tony, can you talk for a couple of minutes? And you looked at me, wiped away your eyes, and you said, yeah, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for Pokey. Just talk to me about maybe the Pokey moment at that time, why you felt like talking about Pokey at that time. I guess that's more of a personal question for me, because I was very curious about what was going through your mind post-game and as you were reflecting and being very, very emotional.
Because the program and Pokey were bigger than me. And, you know, I had been through some hard times. And the thing about it, Mike, is, you know, time heals. And I knew how important that moment was, not only for Pokey. And I quietly knew it was the end of an era for Pokey. And I didn't want it to be that way, but I also wanted to make sure that people in this valley understood that Pokey loved this place more than anywhere in the world. He had his place in Montana, and he had Boise State. And I truly believe Pokey loved this program and what it was going to be and what it meant to him. Some of his best friends were here, and to be honest with you, he cared about all of us in such a deep, sentimental, kind of romantic way, and for it to end the way it did, and it was bigger than you, it was bigger than me, it was bigger than anything. It was Boise State, and you look now at what Boise State has become, and they're going through a hard time, but I can tell you they're going to come back, and we wouldn't be talking right now 25 years later if there wasn't something romantic about that man and what he accomplished.
Tony, 25 years later, how do you think of Pokey Allen today?
I think he started it. I think he started what it has become. And, you know, for me to know the guys that came after me, and the guys that came before me, and the ability for this program to do what it's done in the last 25 years is just it's magic. And to understand that, you know, I listen to you guys every day, and don't tell anybody I said that.
Oh, Hildy.
I do, and for them to have 13 losses in the last, what, I mean, the second winningest program in home winning streak, it's just, it's absurd that it's happening here. And all of us feel like we're a part of a brotherhood. And I'm not kidding you, I can't watch games live on TV because I care about it so much. I get more nervous for games that I can't watch them. I have to record them and see what the score is the next day, because that's how much it means to me. And we all feel the same way. It's a piece of us.
I love that, man. Tony Hildy records BSU games, and he doesn't watch them live because he's too damn nervous. Then he has to go back and play. I love that, Tony. We need to catch up sometime. It's been a while since I've seen you as well. We really appreciate you doing this and celebrating that anniversary of Pokey Allen's only FBS victory. And you, of course, were a huge part of it. You're a huge part of this program, one of the better quarterbacks they've had. And we really appreciate your time, Tony. Tony, keep getting after it, man.
Yeah. Mike, no hard feelings, man. 25 years later, I love you guys. You guys do a great job. Johnny, it's been good to have you on here. You do. It's fun listening to you. So I appreciate it, and best of luck to you guys.
Feelings are mutual, Tony. I always understood exactly where you were coming from. It's all about the brotherhood, and you had 105 brothers, and you were just trying to protect them. And I'd like to think that every one of us would do the exact same thing, regardless of what the situation is.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, thanks for having me on, and call me anytime.
Absolutely. That's Tony Hildy on this special day. We're going to get back to this a little bit at 5 o'clock as well. And if anybody maybe wants to call in during that time and share a Pokey Allen story or memory that you have, we'd love to hear it here on Idaho Sports Talk. So great stuff. You feeling good now? You finally, you kissed and made up with the former star quarterback, Prater.
He listens to us every day. That's win-win for us, right? We need every listener we can get, Ballgame.
Hey, guys, it's not too late to apply Zamzo's Recharger. Recharger's going to slow feed your lawn during the winter, so when it's spring, you're going to be ahead of the game. Go to Zamzo's. They got 13 locations nobody knows like Zamzo's. Andrew Van Buren talked with us today, and he talked about how he feels his role currently is at Boise State. Don't miss this stuff when we got Bronco Focus around the corner. KTIK, The Ticket.
The Sports Radio, The Ticket, will never raise your subscription price because we're free. Putting money in your pocket every time you listen. Sports Radio, The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Bob Beeler, Bronco Focus, coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll focus on a couple of seniors for Boise State, Riley Wimpy and Kekala Kaniho. That's on the way, but this Ticket Sports Update, sponsored by Larry H. Miller Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The issue on the blue this week to take on New Mexico. Enjoy the game, and while you're out and you need a new or pre-owned vehicle, car, truck, or SUV, visit Larry H. Miller Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in the Boise Auto Mall, online at DodgeBoise.com. Of course, the running back situation, George Helani back in the backfield, but running back Andrew Van Buren, he's got 206 yards on the season, scored touchdowns in six games this year. And yesterday, offensive coordinator Tim Plough said they talked with Andrew Van Buren about early on about his role with this team, and Van Buren, he's totally on board.
It's been great. I mean, it's not about me. It's about the team. So just going out there and doing what I can to help the team win, whether if that's kicking field goals or snapping the ball, whatever I can do to help the team win, I'll do it.
You can kick
field goals? No, I can't kick field goals.
No kicking field goals, apparently.
Score touchdowns, get him some heavy yards, and he didn't really elaborate on it, maybe even slipped at one point, but he also did hint that he's probably done as a Boise State football player, and he's probably moving on. I don't know what that means, if it's his decision, somebody else's decision, and maybe there's even a chance for him to come back and play at Boise State. Certainly there's one more year of eligibility, but that's kind of how he hinted. He's going to be one of 24 seniors celebrated on Saturday for a senior day. Boise State has George Helani back. They could have Cyrus Abebe-Lekio back if he wants. And they've also signed that Ashton Gentry kid, I think his name, Genty kid. Ashton Genty out of Frisco, Texas. Big-time recruit out of Frisco, mm-hmm. Texas. And I think Boise State's going to go into next year with Helani, CHL, and Genty as their running backs. Maybe a little Crow, maybe a little bit of Tyquan Taylor as well. That's probably going to be your running back room next week based on what we learned today.
And finally, the College Football Playoff Committee going to release their third edition of the rankings tonight, back to their regular time at 5 p.m. Mountain Time. And probably won't be, you know, many changes whatsoever, as Oklahoma was the only team in the top 10, I believe, last week to lose.
I think the top 7 will be the same.
Yeah.
Top 10? Oh, last week, yeah. Yeah, Oklahoma,
yeah, just
was the
one.
Only 10. It's probably the same, right, guys?
I believe it's going to be 100% the exact same.
Do you put Michigan ahead of Cincinnati and just say, Cincinnati, yeah, we're just going to continue to disrespect you? Michigan had a big-time win over Penn State in Happy Valley. Like, that's a huge win. That's equal on the level of Cincinnati beating Notre Dame. Maybe mm-hmm. not quite, but it's there. So I just wonder maybe if they flip Michigan over Cincinnati at 5, but other than that, yeah, no big surprises. Love it, man. Oh, gosh, that's hard. Oklahoma State still hanging around there too, guys. It'll be interesting to see where they are tonight. Probably still at 10, or maybe they jump up to 9.
They're going
to
be at 9
if Oklahoma goes back down.
Yeah,
so
they'll be at 9.
Let's get to Bob Beeler. We got Bronco Focus, hearing from Kekala Kaniho and Riley Wimpy, a couple of super seniors. This will be their final regular season game on the blue Saturday night, and we have them both speaking, and Bob Beeler's going to be all over this on Bronco Focus. Don't forget, sweet deals. We got one. $50 in gift certificates gets you $25. I'm sorry, $25 in gift certificates gets you $50 at Costa Vida and Blaze Pizza as well. Two, Prater, two sweet deals Friday morning, 9 a.m. on KTIK.com.
Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
Love it when Bob Beeler pops in the Data Tell studio for a live edition of Bronco Focus. Bob, we told everybody you were able to talk with Kakala Kaniho and Riley Wimpy today, a couple of very special seniors.
Yeah, and those are the super seniors. Several of them have come back because they got an extra year because of COVID. And, guys, I would hate to think where Boise State's defense would be without Wimpy in the middle of the defense and Kaniho playing nickel. Those two guys have made an awful lot of tackles once again. Now, I know a lot of other teams have players that are back in the same type of role where they're getting the extra year. But on defense, Kaniho and Wimpy are two guys that have made a lot of big plays, and I don't think the defense would be nearly as good without them.
Yeah, I would agree, Bob. I would thoroughly agree, especially Kaniho. Well, they both. You know, what they bring to the table is good football players. They're probably better leaders and better human beings in the locker room. Both of them are rock-solid human beings. Two of the five players that we know are absolutely not coming back next year, along with Osuji, Stets, and Velasquez. So it was good to get to talk to him today, Bob, and I know that you kind of put together a little program here.
And a couple of things. Wimpy, 62 tackles this year, number two on the team. He led the team both in 2019 and 2020. He has 278 as far as a career number. Kaniho will leave as the all-time games played leader. I think that'll be a record that will never be broken unless they give a fifth year to everybody in the future. He has 209 tackles and has scored three touchdowns in his career, an interception, a fumble return, and a punt return for a score. So two guys have been very, very good. So started off, they ask about the return of Andy Avalos, because when you're playing a last year of football, sometimes maybe you don't want to see a coaching change, but they both seem very happy to have Coach Avalos back. Kaniho first, you'll hear Wimpy second.
I think it's a really great opportunity for us as seniors and leaders, because we talk a lot about leadership and helping the younger guys, but when you have a brand new coaching staff, you know, you're also leading and helping your coaches, guys that are older than you, guys that have been in this profession a lot, but especially Coach Avalos, somebody who was our coach our first 2 years, but him being in a new role as well. You know, same thing sort of as a freshman coming to college, brand new role, brand new experiences. Same thing for him. You know, there's a lot of things as a head coach that you're doing for the first time and experiencing. So I think it's been awesome for all of us to help out where we can and make that transition smooth, and you know, hopefully going forward here, a lot of the things that maybe we taught him or he taught us will continue.
Going back however many years, 2014 I believe it was, Coach Av was the one who recruited me out of San Clemente, and was a big reason why I decided to come to Boise State in the first place. Obviously left to Oregon for a little bit, and then when Coach Harsin left, I reached out to Coach Avalos actually, and I was like, hey, are you going to come be the head coach at Boise State? But at that time, he wasn't allowed to say anything, obviously. So eventually when we got the news, I was super excited to be able to, you know, to know that my last season was going to be back with Coach Avalos, the one who, you know, brought me here. It's an amazing experience to be able to be back with him, to continue to learn from him. And I think he's done a great job.
Bob, what does senior night mean for you? Do you sometimes feel like a dad up there in the press box? You've called every single snap of both these illustrious careers here. And when Riley Wimpy says, yeah, when I was getting recruited back in 2014, that's Brian Harsin's first year. Yeah. Like, what goes through your head when you're seeing these guys run out with their parents one final time on the blue?
Well, just like you think of all the things that they've accomplished here and how much is going out the door. Although it is weird when you don't have the last regular season game. You probably have an away game after that, and who knows, a bowl game or maybe a Mountain West championship in between. But, yeah, there are people that, you know, you get to know pretty well, and these are two guys that I've interviewed, I don't know, countless times. So I like the fact that that you get to know some of these guys, and these are two of them. Yeah. They also talked about Coach Avalos as far as what it's been like for seniors playing with him this season.
Coach Avalos and the coaching staff has done a great job at giving us, you know, idea of what we need to do as leaders to be able to continue to, you know, guide this program in the direction that it needs to go. And so I feel like, you know, we as leaders, I feel like we've done a good job at accepting that, you know, the things that Coach Avalos has been teaching us and, you know, relaying that throughout the team. And so hopefully that, you know, when we're gone, those guys will continue to be able to build upon that and continue to uphold that standard.
Yeah, I think if you talk to any of the seniors, I mean, through all the ups and downs of this season, you know, wins and losses, adversity, we've never wavered from, you know, being committed to the team and the plan. And really, I think we embraced every challenge that faced us, and it really brought us closer together as a team. So even when things weren't going our way, you know, we still found ways to have fun every single day and, you know, find a way out of those moments. And to be here now, you know, coming off of the bye week and stacking some of these weeks together has been awesome. And just once we leave here, to see that get carried on with some of the younger guys.
And when you look at Kaniho and Wimpy, they talked about how they wanted to be remembered. That was, I thought, a very interesting question today.
I think first and foremost, just somebody who, you know, was nice to everybody, made sure to say hi to everybody, somebody that took the time out of their day to, you know, say hello, maybe when, you know, time didn't necessarily provide for it. But secondly, probably somebody who came to work every day, regardless of what was going on, regardless of the highs and lows, you know, somebody that came to work, put their head down, regardless of, you know, the amount that it took, and somebody that was always going to prepare himself.
I think the main thing for me is just the impact that I've had on other people around me. You know, a lot of the on-the-field stuff and accolades or whatever, you know, people are going to pass them. I hope so, at least. But, you know, what's really our legacy if there's nothing that stuck with any of the guys that are still here and things that are carried on, whether it's how to treat people, how to study, you know, on the field, in the classroom, just picking up trash off the floor, like little things like that. If you can leave an impact on the people around you, then that's truly what your legacy is. You know, that's what people are going to remember. That's something that's going to make this place better long after we're gone. So for me, that's what it'd be.
And then Johnny asked, knowing it was their last season, if they stopped and smelled some of the roses along the way.
I think back to when we played UCF. So not necessarily here on the blue, but back to when we played UCF, you know, having fans in the stadium again. And just, I remember looking around the stadium and just realizing that this was going to be my, you know, my last go around here at Boise State. And so just remembering to give it all that I had, and everything that I can continue to give. So I would say that's, you know, the moment that comes to mind when I kind of slowed everything down and thought about that.
Yeah, for me, definitely the realization came, I think, when I decided to come back, you know, because that really wasn't a possibility. So then when I did, I really took every moment from January moving forward all the way to just enjoy every day and give it everything I had. And like you say, step back and smell the roses, so to say. But I was just telling Riley last week, we were doing our walkthroughs before the game on Friday, and I was like, we got two more on the blue. And he was like, all right, let's make it fun, man. Let's make it our best. So now that this is finally our last, I think senior night, walking out there and having our family on the field or things of that sort, you know, will definitely, I don't know if I'm going to cry. I might cry, but we'll see. Who knows?
And those were Kekala Kaniho and Riley Wimpy. Last year's senior day was canceled. That was supposed to be the San Jose State game. So the people who came back will get a senior day finally.
Great stuff, Bob. Coming up, Idaho Steelheads' Will Merchant going to hang out with Prater and myself. Hour number two, Prater and the ball game right here on KTIK The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. It's time to go in the crease with the Idaho Steelheads. On your home of Idaho Steelheads hockey, Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Love it. Prater and the ball game, hitting up that Fat Guy's Fresh Deli hotline, bringing on Idaho Steelhead forward Will Merchant. Joining us right now is the Steelheads, currently tied in the Mountain Division with 12 points with the Tulsa Drillers, and Will Merchant with us right now. Will, thanks for the time. You're having a heck of a year so far. 5 goals in 11 games, so congratulations on that, and welcome to Idaho Sports Talk. What you doing right now, dude?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's always fun to chat with you guys. You know, just good to be back after a long 12-day road trip, so it's always good to get home, you know, hang out, be in Boise again.
You've been a Steely since 2016, you know, one of more games played on this team than most of those guys, so you've seen Steelheads and you've seen what's worked. What's this team's biggest strength, Will?
You know, I think in the past we've always wanted to be big, strong, you know, being in the Mountain Division. That was kind of the motto with everything. But, you know, the game has changed. It's a lot of speed, offense, and that's what we have. You know, I know there's a lot of stats going around, but we know we control a lot of the game. You know, obviously the more game you control, the better chances are you're going to have a good chance to win that night too.
We're talking to Will Merchant, leading scorer for the Idaho Steelheads, home for 3 games this weekend, downtown Boise against the Adirondack Thunder, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the last year and a half, the last 2 years. We've all been a little it's been a little weird out there, Will, in case you haven't noticed.
Yep.
And I noticed that some of your teammates went off and played hockey. Some of your teammates went off and did other things. You stayed in Boise. You wanted to play in Boise. You didn't go anywhere else. And I think you may have even gotten a part-time job at a golf course. So how the hell did you keep yourself busy the last year and a half?
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, obviously, weird year, so everyone kind of had to make a decision on what they wanted to do. You know, I've been here in Boise for so long, and I wanted to stick around, so I didn't really see myself going to play anywhere last year. So I found, you know, part-time jobs. I was working at a golf course, golf shop, Wide World of Golf, so kind of keeping myself busy but doing some stuff I kind of enjoy to do as well.
Well, I've always found that, I don't know if weird is the right word, but I've always been very curious, and I'm a golfer myself, and I certainly love to follow hockey. What is it about hockey players and golf? Because you guys are not only playing it a lot, but you guys are pretty damn good at it.
You know, it's a great activity for us to get away from the rink. You know, we spend a lot of time there, but it's nice to get away, get out for 4 hours with a few buddies and, you know, whack the ball around a little bit. But it's, you know, kind of similar to what we do on the ice, you know, how we hold the stick. Not exactly the same, but it's, you know, similar concepts.
You're not out there teaching young kids, hold the golf club just like you do the hockey stick. That's not going to work, is it?
No, I probably wouldn't be going too far in golf if I did that.
How did your golf game get better at least?
It did. You know, I played a lot more. You know, getting into the golf biz is always kind of fun. It's enjoyable, but you get to play a lot more too, which is great.
Will Merchant hanging out with those Idaho Steelheads. They're back home tomorrow. It's $2 beer night, by the way.
Nice.
So swing on by the ICA and let's watch the Steelies and our guest skate around the rink tomorrow. Will, we talked once about the easiest job in sports, okay? And our clubhouse winner, we haven't been able to top this, is it's in hockey, and it's the penalty box attendant, that guy who sits in the penalty box. He opens the door when a guy gets a penalty and comes in. He grabs his little clipboard and logs the time in and time out. You hear me say this. Are you on board with it? Is that the coolest, easiest job in sports?
Probably. I mean, you get right in the action. You're right there. You know, anytime there's a fight, there's plenty of words being said between the two penalty boxes, so I'm sure they hear a lot of stuff.
Have you ever had a conversation with one of those guys? Do you ever say anything?
Yeah.
Like, how's the missus?
You know his name here?
I don't. They kind of switch all the time. But, I mean, we talk, you know, whenever we're on the road, they always ask, you know, how's Boise? How's the weather? You know, chit-chat for a little bit. I mean, nothing too crazy, but just a little bit of small talk.
Hey, Will, I had a guy one time, he was Canadian, and he called me a hoser. What does that mean? I know you're from Maine, you're American, but what's a hoser?
Honestly, I don't know. It could be more of like a poser in a way, where he's referencing to you, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
It can switch wherever you're at. You know, Canadians have a different meaning for it, too.
Well, Merchant, I had a chance to talk to you, to Coach Sheehan about this last week, and he thinks it's a blessing, as we get back into hockey just a little bit, that you get to go on this six-game, 12-day road trip early in the season. Brand new team, everybody's bonding, everybody's doing their thing. He said a lot of guys are going to be watching a lot of film, but there's also chances to go off and get to know your guys, get to know your teammates. How much different is this team now than it was when you went on this road trip? How does that road trip evolve a roster?
I mean, it's, you know, when we get together, obviously, we're, you know, spend time here in Boise. You know, we see each other a lot, but, you know, when you're on the road, you're eating meals with each other. You're doing a lot of things with each other just because there's only so much you can do. You know, we went through a lot of, you know, injuries, just a grind in, you know, 12 days there on the road. So it really brings everyone together even closer.
Will Merchant, Idaho Steelhead forward here on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. You talked about going on the road and going to a lot of different arenas, the ECHL. It's a pretty big league. What's Boise like, comparatively speaking, to maybe some other teams in the Mountain Division as a hockey town? Will, you've been in this league a while.
Yeah, I mean, by far, we have the best fans. You know, night in, night out, people show up. You know, I'm going to have the biggest rink out there, but they're loud, you know, and that's, I feel like, a big difference between place to place. You know, the fans here really enjoy the games. You know, and having that year and a half away from the game, I think people are even more excited right now.
All right, Will, tomorrow night, I don't know if you're probably not aware of this because you got a hockey game to go off and win, but my partner here, Johnny Ballgame, is going to replace the legendary Britt Talbert in the PA announcing booth tomorrow. Johnny Ballgame is going to take over the Wednesday night shifts. Don't worry, Britt will be back on Fridays and Saturdays. My guy's nervous over here. He's a pro. He's done this before. He's going to be absolutely fantastic tomorrow night, but I need a little help. I need a little bit of love for my guy. First of all, you probably don't listen to the PA announcer, although it's impossible to ignore Talbert and his voice. What makes a good PA announcer, and what kind of advice do you got for my man Ballgame here?
You know, a little energy. You know, people like that. Just, you know, be enthusiastic, and I think people feed off that pretty well.
I think I can do that, man.
I think you check the energy and enthusiastic box, Ballgame.
I think. Yeah. Will, I think I'm gonna do well by you guys, bro. I really am. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited to hear you.
Hey, what's the best hockey video game ever?
Ooh, I mean, I personally like the classics. You know, we have one in our locker room. Our equipment manager has a old arcade, you know, NHL, I don't even know what it is, 1980 or something like that. You got the joysticks and everything, so we play that a lot in our locker room.
Oh, that's sweet, dude. I didn't know the Steelies had a hockey video game in their locker room. I love that.
You're not invited, Ballgame. You're not invited. Will, before we let you go, we appreciate your time. We're probably interrupting your afternoon nap because I know the you athletes who play at night like to have naps, although the game isn't until tomorrow. But not only are we going to have Johnny Ballgame tomorrow doing the PA, but we're going to honor the day. We've got Barry Melrose joining our show tomorrow. What's Barry Melrose like? What's his reputation like in the hockey world? We love him as a media guy. He's very entertaining. Do hockey players feel the same way?
Yeah, I think he's obviously a legend in the game. You know, everyone knows his name, you know, when he played and stuff like that. But I think even now, just him as a sportscaster and everything like that, you know, people even, you know, recognize him even more. But he's does a great job at his job and, you know, does a good job.
But what's the first thing we need to ask him? What's the most important thing to ask Barry Melrose tomorrow, other than advice for Johnny here?
You're asking this a lot of questions of this guy, Prater.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, you can go a lot of different ways. Favorite memory, just kind of something just off the to see what he's got to say, but maybe favorite person he's ever talked to.
Well, you're a soft-spoken guy. What would you be if you weren't a hockey player? I feel like I'm talking to my insurance agent right now.
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I had to think about that last year with, you know, our season being shut down. I was exploring jobs, but, you know, like I said before, I've been in the golf business doing a bunch of stuff. So, you know, it's very intriguing for me. I love the sport. So, you know, maybe down the road, something possibly I get into, either be a part of a course or something like that.
Sounds good. I feel a possible golf round coming up with you and my partner, Mike Prater. We'll be in touch, Will Merchant, and, you know, hit them where they ain't tomorrow on the ice. I'll see you down there. And when you hear that wacko PA guy, you know it's me, bro.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Tomorrow night, the Steelies back on the ice. Puck drops, what, about 7:10, I believe, at the ICA. And
You better know for sure.
It's 7:10.
You got to show up for work, dude.
I know. Prater, don't. Why are you adding pressure on this?
Well, why did you say I believe? You got to come strong, dude. Have confidence. Own it. It starts at 7:10, and you better be there on time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't want to narc off Johnny, but Prater, a few months ago, last month when we were bowling on Wednesday nights, Johnny looked at me kind of panicked one night. He goes, "Steelheads aren't at home tonight, are they?"
You guys.
Get a little
man.
More organized, Ballgame. Don't ever not show up for work, my friend.
I will be there, and I'm excited to do that. That's tomorrow, and all the Steelheads games, that game's going to air JP on AM 1350.
And 95.3 FM.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. And 95.3 FM.
Absolutely.
And Barry Melrose tomorrow, right here on Idaho Sports Talk at 315. Live and local, my friends.
Going to be sweet. Speaking of sweet, still some sweet bids live now on KTIK.com. Again, you can go to our website and bid on stuff that's really cheap and stuff you're going to love. Inexpensive, I should say. Good stuff. Paul Petrino, the Battle of the Domes, Idaho. Idaho State in football. Idaho Vandal head football coach with us next. We're KTIK, the ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Fall Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Welcome back, Idaho Sports Talk. Prater and the Ball Game hitting up that Fat Guy's Fresh Deli hotline on this one, Prater. Love our weekly chat with Idaho Vandal head football coach Paul Petrino. He joins us right now. Coach, welcome. As I said, we love having you on, and I just want to say, look, great effort last week in Bozeman. You guys, in a game that came down to the final possession, came up a bit short, but now you look ahead. And what's the importance, Coach, of finishing a season with a win, especially a win over a rival in the Battle of the Domes?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think anytime you can go win your last game of the year, it gives you great momentum going into recruiting, going into the off-season workouts, and it just it's a real important thing to do. So we got to go down there and get a win.
You know, you've played several quarterbacks this season, and as a quarterback guy, you come from a quarterback family. In your opinion, Coach, how would you describe your team's overall quarterback play this season? Where do you think it needs to improve?
Yeah, it's kind of been, you know, up and down, but it's you can definitely judge it by our points per game. When we've had our top two guys in the conference, we've averaged 33 points per game, and when we haven't, we've averaged 16. So, you know, it's a big difference by who's been in there and what they've done. But I think guys who competed and played hard, but you know, overall, it needs to improve. We need to make sure we keep guys healthy, you know, or they need to be able to play with little hurts, you know. So it needs to improve. I thought Zach went out and competed his tail off last week at Montana State, and we had an opportunity to win the game. You know, it's just a couple key plays we needed to make here and there and a couple calls that were a little tough. But it's a game that we could have won, and we needed to make a couple more plays. And if that was the case, then it would have been, you know, nobody had scored more than 20 points on those guys all year. We scored 13, and we dropped a pass on the 10. We were going to be first and goal on the 5 and got a holding penalty. And then another time we were inside we're on like the 29-yard line and came away with no points. So we could have scored more points than anybody did, but could have doesn't count. We needed to make it happen and get it done. So, it's just something we need to keep working on and keep improving on and go make sure we score enough points to win this weekend.
Talking to Idaho football coach Paul Petrino, getting ready for Saturday's game. Idaho State, 1 o'clock Mountain Time in the Dome in Pocatello. Coach, such a big part of sports is this crazy word called momentum. And I don't know how you coach or teach momentum. It's a struggle for everybody. It's a struggle for good teams. It's a struggle for teams that aren't good. How do you coach momentum? More importantly, how do you keep it going? And I'm talking about within a season, within a game, within a quarter, anything.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is leadership. A lot of it is what your body language is, what your passion is to play, how much you care about your teammates. And I think that was one of the things I was super proud of our guys last week. You know, that was a game they went down there and they fought their tail off from start to finish and had great body language the whole time, played with great passion, and really played a super physical game. And, you know, they just came up a couple plays short, but it never was because of effort or passion or body language or any of that. So this week it really comes down to it's the last game of the year for both teams. So it's probably going to what team wants to play the most fired up and has the most passion and wants to go play.
Well, let's talk about this series. I know you love rivalry games. You're passionate about college football. You have been since the day you were born. It's a beautiful thing when you can get a rivalry going like this. Just what does this mean to you? Do you like him? Do you not like him? What kind of message do you teach? Focus on the X's and O's, but don't forget about the emotions in a game like this, Coach.
Yeah, for sure. I think getting them to move the game to the last game of the year was big. I think that'll build on the rivalry that much more.
I like it.
It's a little peculiar that Idaho's going to travel to Idaho State 3 straight times. That would never happen in the Montana State series, so that's a little weird. But yeah, I mean, I think making it the last game of the year really helps making it a big old rivalry, and it'll build and build. And we got to go down there and win that game and get the Battle of the Domes trophy back and put it back in our trophy case.
Coach, where do you think the Bengals give you guys the most problems? What are you going to be concerned the most about this week to make sure whatever doesn't happen?
Defensively, it's number 11. He's a really good football player. He does a lot of different things. They bring him on a lot of pressures. He runs around, makes plays. He's gotten some big interceptions for him. He's just a good football player. So we got to know where he's at and block him at all times. Offensively, we got to stop number 80, their big receiver. He does a really good job, makes a lot of big plays for him. And their running back, number 12, has been running extremely hard. So I would say if you just were talking about individuals, that's the three keys that we got to make sure that we do a good job against those guys.
Coach, let's talk about Idaho and Idaho State. I got kind of a broad question. I know you're focused on Saturday, but, you know, Johnny and I both love college football. It's the greatest thing that we do around here, and it doesn't always have to be about Boise State. And we want Idaho and Idaho State to be monster college football programs. You're in charge of Idaho. You're not in charge of Idaho State. I get that, but and I know the limitations of recruiting in this state, but how can we make college football better in the state of Idaho?
You got to put money into it. You know, you got to look at the facilities at Montana State and some of the other places. And I think that's where it starts. And number two, you got to not play two big schools every single year. That makes it tough on both teams. So if I had to just start with two things for both schools, both of them, that would probably help both of them right away.
Well, that makes sense. Coach, with ICCU Arena now, you know, being established, they're playing games. It's wonderful. I love it for the community and the alums and everybody involved with it. What's that do for your football program? You kind of get your space back a little bit. I mean, does that help you for any type of spring ball, whatnot? What's the impact on the football team now that you don't have to share the kibbe with as many different teams?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps a lot. Anytime you're putting up new buildings and new facilities, that's always going to help. But, you know, we gotta look at, you know, making our locker room look as nice as the teams I mentioned earlier, or have a players lounge, have different things that other people have that are using that against you in recruiting.
How is recruiting going right now, Coach? I know you can't dive into names and specifics.
Yeah,
but
we can't talk details, but it's going good. Actually, I can't talk details to get myself in trouble.
For
but
sure.
There's a couple individuals that at some key positions that we have some commitments from that are very good.
Let's dive into this question. You can definitely answer this question. What are you excited about in terms of, regardless of what happens on Saturday and the momentum we talked about, certainly would play a big role in the offseason, but what are you excited about this program moving forward?
Yeah, you just got a bunch of good young players. I mean, offensively, you only lose two guys, and you got a whole bunch of young players that have played a bunch of football that are really good. There's a lot of young guys defensively also. So I think just the young football players in the system that is extremely bright future for the Idaho Vandals.
You're playing your last game on Saturday, and you've played two seasons this calendar year. We've talked about that a lot going back to the spring. How is the mind and the health and the bodies of your football players? Did they come through it okay collectively?
Yeah, I think the guys that are out there and still playing have came through it good. I think it's something that they'll have gone through that most people haven't, you know, in the 2 years of the masks and the testing and all the different things and a lot of the stuff they've had to sacrifice and not really be normal college students as far as giving up a whole lot of things. So I think you got to give everybody that's gone through it at all the schools a lot of credit. And it'll just be something that they'll all remember that they got through. And I think it'll make everybody a lot stronger and tougher later in their lives because it's something that they got through also.
Coach Paul Petrino, Idaho Vandals. Coach, down the road, if ever, would you ever consider playing versus your brother Bobby in a football game? Your head coach, he's head coach. You guys figure out where to play, and we have a Petrino Bowl.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. That would always be something that'd be really fun. So yeah, for sure.
Maybe you guys could play it at a neutral site. How about Carroll College? Eh?
Yeah, it'd be packed. That's for sure. It would be packed.
Coach, let's get them. Battle of the Domes, obviously a big game. Love ending the season with rivals like this, and go get them. We'll be watching on ESPN+.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys. You guys do a great job. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. And, yeah, we do a great job. Paul Petrino said that right there. I mean, we do a great job.
And we believe every single word that comes out of a coach's mouth.
Gosh, you know, yesterday, Coach Avalos called me Johnny for the first time ever. I'd never heard him say Johnny. He always calls me John. So I get a Johnny from Avalos yesterday. And today, Paul Petrino gives us you guys do a great job. Pretty cool, man.
Wow.
Is that going to be the last interview we have with Paul Petrino?
No. Prater. No.
It won't be.
I mean, it will be this year.
Okay. All right. I love it. Battle of the Domes. Next, Idaho State.
Check back next August.
I love it, man. Okay. We'll see. Hey, guys, don't forget to download the app. Yes, the KTIK, the Ticket app for your phone. You can stream Idaho Sports Talk or any of your other favorite shows. You can keep up with our social media stuff. You can even send Prater and myself messages. So get the KTIK app for your Apple or Android device. You'll thank us later on that. We have Rock, Jocks, and Pop this hour. We're going to get back to the Pokey Allen, celebrating this anniversary for Pokey Allen's only FBS victory over New Mexico State on this date in 1996. But coming up, Riley Wimpy, more of your favorite star linebacker, and one of the reasons for the three-game win streak, one of the secrets, Riley Wimpy is going to tell you next on Prater and the Ballgame.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ballgame. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Hang with us in about 10 minutes. Rock, Jocks, and Pop Culture, and your chance to win another $50 gift certificate to Blaze Pizza, which is actually one of our sweet deals, this coming Friday morning at 9 a.m. But first, Boise State plays their final home game of the regular season Saturday night against New Mexico. Senior night, one of those seniors is linebacker Riley Wimpy. He says the focus for the defense, especially during this current three-game win streak, has been playing physical.
We've been emphasizing that the most physical team wins. I feel like we have been playing physical throughout the whole season, but I do feel like where we've gotten better is being able to play physical through our technique. And I feel like that's what has allowed us to be able to, you know, go out there and play better the second half of the season than we did in the first half. And so, you know, hats off to the coaches, really emphasizing the technique that we need to play with, and players accepting that coaching and, you know, taking it on and showing that out on the field.
Expect another physical game against New Mexico, as we decided one of the worst, absolute worst teams in the country.
The worst offense. It is the worst offense in the country. I can't speak for its defense, but its offense statistically is dead last, period.
Wow.
I mean, they're 28-point favorites, 27-point favorites. I mean, they're expecting this to be a massive blowout of senior night proportions, and we'll see if the Broncos can deliver. Prater, that you seemed a little reluctant yesterday.
About what?
I know you don't bet on Boise State, but to advise a Boise State gambler, 28 points is a lot of points to give with this offense.
I don't think I would lay those points, no. That's a lot of points. Yeah. That's a lot of points for that offense. That's really, I mean, they've showed it against bad teams, but I think New Mexico will come in here a little tough on defense. It'll be right around that number, but I wouldn't play with my money there, no.
Does he get his 50? He's got it once this year against UTEP. Does he get it a second time?
I'm going to say no.
Odds would be no, Johnny. I mean, one time, and they're literally averaging, I haven't seen it, but right about 30 points.
This team,
maybe even a little under,
kicks too many field goals.
Well, yeah.
To be a team that can approach 50. Now, if they can correct those red zone deficiencies and start turning 6 points rather than 3 points, who knows? Maybe so. I mean, maybe this is one of those classic homecoming, like, senior night games where you play a team that's obviously struggling in New Mexico, and you just pour it on them. We'll see.
New Mexico's defense is decent. I mean, they haven't given up more than 34 points all season. They've never given up 40. They've never given up 50. Mm. They held Wyoming just to 3 points last week or 2 weeks ago. So the defense is decent, and you got to remember, too, when New Mexico comes to town, that means less possessions for Boise State's offense because of the way that New Mexico runs this ball. They shorten the game. Mm-hmm. They lengthen those possessions. Boise State's going to get very limited offensive possessions. I think that 28 number, actually, I'm talking myself into it. There's no way I like that number. But you know what? Boise State could certainly explode against a very bad team, especially on an emotional senior day. But on paper, I wouldn't go for it.
I would love to see the most points that Boise State has ever covered in a win. I'll have to look that up on my own time, but I would wonder if maybe during the Kellen era they were ranked against some McGillicuddy like 38.5 and they covered it or something. You know, I'd like to look back on
I think Alabama covered Saturday 52.
Really? They covered a 52-point spread.
Yes, they covered
Dude, I can't even. Yeah.
Were they playing an FCS team? Or?
New Mexico State.
Oh.
Gotcha.
The team we talked about at 3 and the team we'll talk about again at 5.
Yeah.
By the way, we have done nothing to Logan the Voodoo Doll today.
Oh.
So we need to do something massive to it. Johnny, pick a spot on Logan. Ready?
Okay. I'm going to sweep the leg.
Which leg? Which
Let's
leg?
Go right leg, upper thigh. Give him a whack from ball game.
Ooh,
there.
Ow.
Did he sleep in the restroom last
he
night?
He did. You know what? Somebody texted us and said, put him in the bathroom so that he will stink by Saturday. He spent the night in the men's bathroom at Cumulus Radio.
Let's make sure we do that every night for the rest of this week. We're trying to get Logan the Voodoo Doll as much pain as possible because we're trying to put a hex on Utah State's football program. Utah State needs to lose a football game. We were desperately upset with San Jose State last week. They got a couple of patsies on their schedule, so we need all the help we can get. This is the only path for Boise State to get to a Mountain West or a division championship game, so we need some help. Logan the Voodoo Doll needs some abuse. Make sure he spends every night this week in the bathroom,
absolutely.
JP.
All right. Boise State Athletics, they announced a new campaign today. It's called the What's Next Initiative. You might have seen this come across your social media feed. Put up a nice, slick video. But four key areas that they want to address include the facilities and the infrastructure. They want to, of course, generate some revenue with the goal of increasing BAA memberships and football season ticket sales. The student-athlete experience and the marketability of the university athletics and the student athletes, which goes right into the NIL stuff right there. Market those student athletes.
Nice.
So you can get more information. Just go to broncosports.com and it's all right there.
Yeah.
They want your money right now.
Bring your checkbook.
Exactly. There's another Power 5 job opening in football. Virginia Tech fired their head coach, Justin Fuentes, after 6 seasons. Fuente came to the Hokies from Memphis 40-31 after he took over for the legend, Frank Beamer. You don't want to replace the legend. That makes 6 current Power 5 openings, 3 Group of 5 openings in college football.
Virginia Tech is one of those schools where, you know, you remember, I mean, check this out. Frank Beamer in his heyday from basically from 1999 to 2011, he won 10 games every year except 2. I mean, Beamer had it rolling. Beamer Bowl, the special teams, blocked punts, and they had an identity. You know, Virginia Tech did. They played historic defense. And Justin Fuente, you know, he wasn't bad there. I mean, he went 8-5, 9-4, that type of stuff. 5-6 last year during COVID. But, yeah, JP, you never want to be the guy that has to replace the legend. Be the guy that replaces the guy that couldn't replace the legend. But holy smokes, we were talking about this in our production meeting today. The amount of high-level jobs, Prater, open in FBS college football right now, it's historic, correct?
College football's become the NFL. They don't care about the timing of firing a coach anymore.
And Frank Beamer, was he him against Florida State? Was that the very first BCS championship game, Johnny?
No,
I know
it was
Florida
the second.
State. Whoa, okay.
It was the second. The first was Prater.
Tennessee and Florida State?
Yes, sir. Second
nice.
Was Florida State, Virginia Tech. That was kind of Michael Vick's coming out party, and that was a fun year of college football. Yeah, they were 11-0 that year until they lost to Florida State in the Sugar Bowl.
And you can get more trivia just like that in Rock Jocks Pop Culture coming up in just a couple of minutes. And finally, last night's Monday Night Football Manning cast had a number of good guests on it. Al Michaels, Philip Rivers, Phil Mickelson joined the guys last night. And they were also joined by Draymond Green. I actually caught Draymond. I didn't see the other guys, but Draymond got in a pretty good zinger on Peyton Manning last night.
How would you talk smack to Peyton?
I tell Peyton he got as great as you're supposed to be. The coach cut you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
I mean, I thought nobody could sting me more than Mickelson in the second quarter, but Draymond has done that here in the third quarter. I love it. I love it.
Love this show.
I was actually enjoying a little bit because the game was kind of a dog game after
it was
a while.
Boring game. Yeah. You would have loved the Mickelson segment, too. It was funny because the Mannings wanted to talk golf, and Mickelson wanted to talk football. Yeah. And you can see they kept asking each other questions. Phil wanted to know, hey, is this how do you tell versus a cover three or a man under? You know, and Phil would ask golf questions, and then Peyton or Eli would come back, Prater, and they'd want to ask Phil golf questions. You know, how do I read a green? This and that. It was good stuff, man. Yeah. Okay, here we go. JP hinted at it. Now it's official. 208-424-9300. We are giving away $50 to Blaze Pizza today. Whoever thinks that they can handle Rock Jocks and Pop Culture, you need two questions correct. Lines are open. So if you call right now, you might get through. It's brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. We're doing it next. KTIK, the ticket.
It's time to play everyone's favorite game, Rock Jocks and Pop Culture. Are you a Wall of Famer, Wall of Shamer, or somewhere in between? Now, here's Johnny on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
Let's have some fun with this one today because we have a very special contestant, Joe, from right here in Boise. He is, ladies and gentlemen, the very first Wall of Famer in the history of Rock Jocks and Pop Culture on Prater and the Ball Game. Joe, welcome. Man, this is, I feel honored here that we get to do this with you again here, and congratulations on being the first Wall of Famer. You must, that must be one of the coolest things that's ever happened to you, huh?
No.
Damn.
I love the honesty. Nicely done. You're already a winner.
So what you're saying is that that has not changed your life, the last year has not changed your life at all.
No, it's significantly changed my life for the better. I've been on a upward trajectory ever since, so I owe you guys a lot.
There you
okay,
go.
We'll see if we can get you on there again, Joe, in Boise. $50, Blaze Pizza at stake. Here we come with The Rock. Joe, who sang the song I'm Too Sexy, released in 1991?
Was it like Right Said Fred, I think? Yeah, Right Said Fred, final answer.
Final answer, Right Said Fred.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Did you guys know that one, Lifelines?
I did.
I have never heard the song or the person.
I think you've heard the song, but maybe it's not ringing a bell.
No, I have no idea.
I'm Too Sexy. Yeah, top the charts in 70 countries. It was a big hit. One for one. Nice job, Joe. Next up. Joe, three universities have had five players drafted number one overall in the NFL draft. Can you name me two of the schools? Three universities have had five number one overall picks. I need to know two of them.
Well, I mean, I feel like you got to say Alabama's got to be one of them. Let's hear what Prater has to say on this one. But I think it's, yeah, let's hear what Prater has to say.
The first three schools that came to mind for me are USC, Ohio State, and Notre Dame.
Okay, I like USC and Notre Dame a lot, actually, and I'm going to say let's go with those two.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Well done.
Nice. I don't think Alabama's on that list.
They are not. Yeah. Well done.
Michigan?
No.
Was it by three?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Oh,
USC, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame have had five number one overall draft picks. As far as I can remember, though, the last one Notre Dame had was a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, these are like 1940s, 1950s, like Paul Hornig stuff.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's have been fairly recent. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Sam Bradford, all number one overall picks in the last 10 years or so. And USC, fairly spread out. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, guys. Well done, Prater, and well done, Joe in Boise. Wow, you're already 2 for 2, Joe. How you feeling right now? I mean, is rock, jocks, and pop culture just like, this is just your punk, huh? You own this show.
Yeah, I'm really good at storing useless knowledge. That's about it, though.
Do you do pretty well when you listen on your own?
Yeah, I feel like I generally do pretty well. I've got a trivia team that we play with, well, we used to before COVID, and yeah, I like trivia.
Okay, well, Blaze Trivia, I'm sorry, Blaze Pizza, speaking of trivia, you got the $50, that's already all said and done. Let's see if we put you back on our Wall of Fame, Joe in Boise. And this is a tough one. We'll see. We'll see what type of dude you are here, Joe. Certain types of people will know this, and certain types won't. And I'm going to ask the question right here, pop culture. Who wrote The Outsiders?
Well, you're going to laugh because I'm actually a librarian. And it's Hinton, I believe. This E. Hinton, I think. Let's see if JP can steer me in a different direction.
You're absolutely correct. S. E.
Hinton. All right, that's what I'm going to go with.
S.E. Hinton.
It is my understanding that we're supposed to play ball.
Damn, man. Wall of Famer, here we go again. Well done, Joe in Boise. Holy smokes, 14 million copies of The Outsiders. And I read an article today, they still sell about 500,000 copies a year of The Outsiders. Do you know anything about S.E. Hinton, guys?
I do know that she's a female.
Yes.
And they use the initials because they didn't think that a book about gangs or whatever would sell if it was written by a woman.
And throw on the fact, when she wrote it, she was 16 years
old. Oh, really?
Old.
Wow.
They published that book, The Outsiders, one of the great American, probably young adult novels, Prater, as a book guy. She wrote that when she was 16.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And they didn't want to put her name, whatever starts with an S, Sandra or whatever. They thought no one would buy it if a woman wrote it. So they just went by S.E. Hinton, and the rest is history. Joe, terrific job. Stay on the line. JP's going to get some information from you. And Prater, he smacked my questions today, dude.
Like that. Like that. Smart dude. Very smart guy.
He's a librarian? I didn't know those jobs still existed. Prater.
Ball game, just because you don't go to the library, I don't go to the library, doesn't mean the libraries don't exist. The libraries are still out there.
People still go?
They're out there, yes. You think the library opens itself?
No, and usually libraries are really nice, like the downtown big library, Prater. But I just, man, I don't know, dude. I have a hard time seeing, I remember last time I've been in a library, but yeah, who am I? I'm an idiot. 5 o'clock's going to be awesome.
Let's get after it. We had a chance at 5 o'clock. Today is the 25th anniversary of Pokey Allen, former Boise State football coach. His only FBS victory, November 16th, 1996, in Las Cruces, New Mexico. We're going to get after memory lane. We did it at 3 o'clock. We did it at 3:15 with an interview with Tony Hilde. We're going to give you some highlights of that interview. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But it was what I consider the most emotional night in the history of Boise State football. And when I think of emotional nights, I don't think of games like the Fiesta Bowl. That's not the word that comes to mind for me after that Fiesta Bowl. There was many other words that came to mind there. This was truly the most emotional night in the history of Boise State football. A man in Canada got on an airplane to fly to Boise, to fly to Las Cruces, New Mexico, to win a football game as he was dying. And he died 30 days later, and it was a beautiful thing. Boise State fell behind massively in the first half of that game, and all of a sudden the Pokey Allen aura came alive, and Boise State won this football game on the last play of the game, thanks to Tony Hilde and his teammates. And we're going to get after that. Tony Hilde was awesome. He was very, very poignant in what he had to say, his emotional memories. And it was good. And let's get after it again, ball game. And let's spread some emotions around and honor a man 25 years ago today, won his only Boise State football game. Crazy, crazy night, my friend.
FBS football win.
FBS, yes.
Pokey
yes.
Allen. You'll hear from Tony Hilde, and we next hour also want to hear from you. And we'd love to hear a Pokey Allen memory if you have one on this great anniversary, November 16th. For Boise State. That's Prater in the ball game. That's 5 o'clock, and luckily for you, that is next.
Sports Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. Sports Radio The Ticket will be on the move in 2022. We'll have the same Idaho sports talk with Prater in the ballgame, the same great national shows, only a little to the right of your radio dial. Starting January 3rd, listen for Sports Radio The Ticket at 95.3 FM. Of course, you can also listen online through your smart speakers or the KTIK app. Sports Radio The Ticket, moving to 95.3 FM on January 3rd.
What's going on and welcome? We hope it's your favorite Sports Talk radio program, Idaho Sports Talk, Prater in the Ball Game, Sports Radio The Ticket. I'm Johnny Ball Game. That's JP pressing buttons, running our board, and my partner, he's been to seven Rose Bowls, Mike Prater. And Prater, 5 o'clock on Tuesdays, this is kind of a new cool thing for us. For about a half hour, we talk the CFP as the bowl is coming out as we speak, but we also try to find another great nugget to talk about. And today, we found just the nugget, celebrating the anniversary, November 16th, which you said is the most emotional moment in Boise State football history.
It really was. It was definitely the game itself, the whole day. As a matter of fact, the whole week in terms of Pokey Allen flying in from his deathbed in Vancouver, Columbia, British Columbia, and flying to Boise to prep his football team for a game, and then flying to New Mexico to win a football game, the only FBS victory of his entire career. And it was an emotional night. It was a crazy game. Boise State had to rally from behind against one of the worst teams in all of college football, and it was crazy emotional, and it was the beginning of an emotional 6 weeks for this Boise State football program, one of the most dramatic 6 weeks periods in the history of this program. Next Tuesday, a week from today, we'll also go down memory lane, 25-year anniversary of Boise State and Pokey Allen playing and coaching his final game. It was that infamous game against the Idaho Vandals on the blue turf. That was pretty dramatic night. Yeah. And then December 30th, 1996, at 4:30 in the morning on a Monday, Pokey Allen passed away. We'll also follow up later next month on the 30th anniversary of that. But it really sparked what, you know, Boise State football in 95 and 96 went through a very emotional time. Actually, if you want to throw 94 in there, going to the national championship game, 95, being ranked number one, and a season falling apart, and then 1996, your coach dying. It was a crazy, crazy time.
And in going Boise up State. To the FBS level for the first year.
In 1996,
Six,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, what a season with a lot of turmoil. And a guy who had a front row seat was the great quarterback, Tony Hilde. And he's on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline. Let's talk about this. Tony Hilde, welcome to the program. And you heard us talking about this. Tony, what did that victory mean to you?
A lot more than I think a lot of people remember. You know, there was a lot of firsts. I was reminiscing last night, and there was a lot of firsts with Pokey, and we were his first freshman class and his last senior class. And so, you know, he told us the vision, and he foresaw where it was going, and I wish he could have experienced more of the hard work that he put into building the program. But there was something special that day, and I remember crying. I remember how it felt at halftime, and just the fact that we were able to give him something and something to remember. And we all knew how important that day was for the program and for Pokey.
25 years ago today in Las Cruces, New Mexico, Pokey Allen, former Boise State coach, won his first and only FBS football game on a last-second play involving our guest right now, Tony Hilde, the quarterback. Tony, before we get too far ahead about this game, I just wanted to talk to you about Pokey Allen, period. The magic, the aura, what made him special, what made him different, just the big picture. Let's get away from that day for a second. What do you think about when you think about Pokey Allen?
Just, he had a plan, and he had the ability to bring in really great coaches. He let coaches coach, and he had a vision for this program. I mean, I remember coming in and he came to my house the night before Christmas, and he and Al Borges and Tom Mason, they got in a car and drove through a snowstorm to come to my house, and they said, you're going to be a part of something. and you're going to help build a top 25 program. And I remember I decommitted from Oregon and came here because I wanted to play for these guys. And I remember going into his office and seeing the stadium of what it looked like or what it would look like. And he had a vision with Gene Blamire, and man, they pulled it off.
Tony, let's talk about that week. I don't know how much detail you remember. The whole week started that Sunday night before the New Mexico State game, where he flew from Vancouver, B.C., where he was having those experimental treatments, to Boise that night. He met the media that night, and then Monday morning, I think he showed up and went to work. When Pokey Allen, I hate to say it, but a dying Pokey Allen walks into the office to go to work to win a football game, what did that do to you guys?
Oh, it was who he was and just how important this program meant to him. And I don't think he ever thought he was going to lose the battle of cancer.
No, he didn't. And, yeah, you're right.
And he just, we saw how important it was to him. And he was more to us than a coach. And I mean, just how close we still are as a group because of what he did for us. He was more than a coach, and his ability to fight was something that I've never seen before, and I don't know if I'll see again. I still, to this dying day, he felt like he was going to win that battle, and he was going to coach here for a lot of years. And so we saw he was a shell of himself, but he didn't coach us any less when he was, you know, had no energy and lost 40 pounds. I know you remember the size of the tumor that was on the front of him, and he didn't let it define him.
Tony Hilde hanging out with us, played for the great Pokey Allen and sharing memories. We're celebrating the anniversary today, November 16th, when Pokey Allen won the first FBS game in the history of this program. First for Pokey Allen, obviously, what we're talking about. How proud, in your opinion, Tony, would have Pokey Allen been to see what's happened the next 25 years at this program, knowing how big a part he was of it when he took the gig in 1993?
I think he's still watching over the program. I mean, I was thinking about it last night, and just the recruiting class that he brought in with Bart Hendricks and Shenard Hartz. I mean, those guys are great in the program history, and those were his guys. And he really started it all. There's been a lot of great coaches come through here, and there's no doubt about it, but I feel like he's as big a piece as anybody, because he was finally able to recruit the Division I caliber player, and I truly think he would have been here for a lot of years. He had a vision for it, and even on his dying day, he brought in guys that never slowed down. They only kept that upward trajectory, and he was a big part of that.
Talking to former Boise State quarterback Tony Hilde, threw for 267 yards and 3 touchdown passes, all to Ryan Akibi 25 years ago today, as Pokey Allen won his only FBS football game. Tony, let's dive back into the last 43 seconds of that football game. It all started off with that trick play, which you ran a week before under Tom Mason, and it didn't work. And in this particular case, Akibi and Andre Horace did the reverse, and they set you guys up on the 22-yard line. You had the one incomplete pass and then the game-winning touchdown to Ryan there at the very, very end. What do you remember about that reverse? What do you remember about the incomplete pass? And then let's talk about the game winner.
Yeah, it was all kind of like a surreal moment of, I never ever felt like we were going to lose that game. I knew it was going to work itself out. And, you know, I know, to be honest with you, I felt like, you know, somebody was over watching us, because, you know, Ryan and I were two freshmen that played together and kind of came out of redshirt our freshman year, and he said, you guys are gonna take some blows, but it's gonna pay off in the end. And when it was all said and done, I'm very thankful that it ended up in Ryan's hands. He deserved that moment, and I think Ryan and I were kind of the two guys that he brought in to help start this thing, and I'm glad it ended with he and I.
Tony, I've never talked to you about this, and you and I did not see eye to eye in that 95 and 96 season. You didn't talk to me for those two seasons, and the only reason I want to bring this up is because I walked up to you after that victory as you were walking up that concrete ramp by yourself, and you were crying. And I was nervous as hell because I didn't know what to do. We literally had not talked for 2 years. And I walked up and said, Tony, can you talk for a couple of minutes? And you looked at me, wiped away your eyes, and you said, yeah, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for Pokey. Just talk to me about maybe the Pokey moment at that time, why you felt like talking about Pokey at that time. I guess that's more of a personal question for me because I was very curious about what was going through your mind post-game and as you were reflecting and being very, very emotional.
Because the program and Pokey were bigger than me. And, you know, I had been through some hard times. And the thing about it, Mike, is, you know, time heals. And I knew how important that moment was, not only for Pokey. And I quietly knew it was the end of an era for Pokey. And I didn't want it to be that way, but I also wanted to make sure that people in this valley understood that Pokey loved this place more than anywhere in the world. He had his place in Montana, and he had Boise State. And I truly believe Pokey loved this program and what it was going to be and what it meant to him. Some of his best friends were here, and to be honest with you, he cared about all of us in such a deep, sentimental, kind of romantic way, and for it to end the way it did, and it was bigger than you, it was bigger than me, it was bigger than anything. It was Boise State, and you look now at what Boise State has become, and they're going through a hard time, but I can tell you they're going to come back, and we wouldn't be talking right now 25 years later if there wasn't something romantic about that man and what he accomplished.
Tony, 25 years later, how do you think of Pokey Allen today?
I think he started it. I think he started what it has become, and, you know, for me to know the guys that came after me, and the guys that came before me, and the ability for this program to do what it's done in the last 25 years is just it's magic. And to understand that, you know, I listen to you guys every day, and don't tell anybody I said that.
Oh, Hildy.
I do, and for them to have 13 losses in the last, the second winningest program in home winning streak. It's just, it's absurd that it's happening here. And all of us feel like we're a part of a brotherhood. And I'm not kidding you. I can't watch games live on TV because I care about it so much. I get more nervous for games that I can't watch them. I have to record them and see what the score is the next day, because that's how much it means to me. And we all feel the same way. Is it's a piece of us.
I love that, man. Tony Hildy records BSU games and he doesn't watch them live because he's too damn nervous. Then he has to go back and play. I love that, Tony. We need to catch up sometime. It's been a while since I've seen you as well. We really appreciate you doing this and celebrating that anniversary of Pokey Allen's only FBS victory. And you, of course, were a huge part of it. You're a huge part of this program, one of the better quarterbacks they've had. And we really appreciate your time, Tony. Keep getting after it, man.
Yeah. Mike, no hard feelings, man. 25 years later, I love you guys. You guys do a great job. Johnny, it's been good to have you on here. You do fun listening to you. So I appreciate it, and best of luck to you guys.
Feelings are mutual, Tony. I always understood exactly where you were coming from. It's all about the brotherhood, and you had 105 brothers, and you were just trying to protect them. And I'd like to think that every one of us would do the exact same thing, regardless of what the situation is.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, thanks for having me on, and call me anytime.
Thank you, man. Great stuff, Tony Hilde, former Boise State quarterback, and great stuff. Now is where it gets a lot of fun, Prater. We open up the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. We have the CFP rankings coming out. Not a lot to discuss there. If you wanted a lot of switching around, probably not your day. But who out there's got a cool Pokey Allen memory? That's what I would love to hear. I didn't cover the team back then, Prater. Pokey Allen, everybody seems to have these Pokey Allen stories. I know a bunch of people were calling earlier. We weren't taking calls. Well, now we are. 208-424-9300. You want to talk CFP? Any problems you have there? You want to talk Pokey Allen? Maybe you remember that game Prater was talking about. We're doing it next on KTIK The Ticket.
Work on your multitasking. Stay with The Ticket tonight and work away. We'll keep you posted on sports right here on Sports Radio 93.1 FM. The Ticket.
All right, we have a CFP ranking, Prater. Give us 1 through 7.
It's the same as last week, ball game. Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Michigan State.
Okay.
Followed by Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and Wake Forest. I think we're down to about the top seven. Top seven teams have been top seven teams will compete for a top four spot. The Big Ten will have a couple elimination games. SEC will have a couple elimination games, and let's see if Cincinnati and somebody else can sneak in there.
Yeah, pay attention. Ohio State, Michigan State plays on Saturday. That's a 10 a.m. Mountain Time kick. The process of elimination will begin. Let's get to the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Bill, you're first up, and you know we were talking about today being the anniversary of Pokey Allen's only FBS victory as a football coach, roughly a month before he passed away. And Bill, you said you had a Pokey story. Bring it, Bill.
Yeah, 1995 and 96, things were not real good on the football field. They were trying to get some excitement, and I happened to own the dog Kicks that was the first key-retrieving dog. And we were told to come on Friday at 3 o'clock for kickoff practice. The coaches were all against it. I set the dog up on the sidelines. They kicked it off. I sent her out. And I think it was Dutton, one of the line coaches, spread his legs over the tee, and she slid around him, reached underneath his legs, grabbed the tee, and brought it back to me. We did that about 3 times. They were blowing whistles because she'd been trained to a whistle trying to screw her up. Afterwards, Pokey came up to me, and he said, "That was pretty good, but anybody can do it in practice. Let's see what you can do at game time." I looked at him and smiled, and I said, "Coach, score some points, and we'll go after it." And she did that for 4 years. But he was a sure, sincere guy, and he was happy to have the dog on the field. The other coaches weren't quite sure.
I love that. I can see Pokey Allen as a dog guy. There isn't a human, any living thing, flowers, barley, hops, whatever it was. Pokey Allen loved everything that was alive, and that was a pretty cool. That's a cool story, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the owner of the T-Dog at that time. Great stuff, Bill. Let's bring Slick Willie on. Been a while. Where the hell have you been, Slick Willie? What's up? What you got?
Hi. My story is Andre Horace, the wide receiver, was my junior college wide receiver in Stockton at Delta.
Nice.
Bob Beeler Country and Mike Richmond, who's a cop in Boise, went to Lincoln High School, who was also one of his former athletes at Boise State, all from Stockton. So, and I think Andre Horace had top 10 ESPN kick and punt returns, I think 95, 96. You have to go back and look that up, but that's my, I happen to play with both those guys in junior college.
I don't think Boise State wins that game, and I don't think Pokey Allen realizes his dream without Andre Horace. He's kind of the forgotten guy in this deal. And when New Mexico State took the lead by a couple of points with 45 seconds to go, Andre Horace and Ryan Akibi had that return, that reverse, and Andre Horace took it all the way to the New Mexico State 22. That's what set up the game-winning touchdown. That's the play that made this game happen.
Yep.
Appreciate you. Good stuff, all Slick right. Willie. Thanks, man. Let's go to, I love this call. Former Seattle Seahawk, Boise State football legend, and Idaho Sports Talk legend, Larry Pulowski, hanging out with us. What's up, Paul? What you got?
Hey, ball game. How you doing, Michael? Good to talk to you guys. Hey, this is, Mike just hit on it. Pokey loved a lot of things, but he was a man amongst men when it came to women.
Where are you going with that, Poe?
Poe.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. He loved 6th and Main. He loved those bars down there.
Yeah.
And my wife at the time and I were in Granny's one night. And we're just, having a beer, listening to some music and checking out the dance floor. And I didn't see this happen, but he puts his arm around my wife's waist and he doesn't know who she is. And he says, "Hey, lady, you want to go out and dance a little bit?" And she taps me on the shoulder because I was looking off somewhere else. And I turned around and I looked at Pokey, and Pokey looked at me and he goes, "Holy shit, Bo! Holy cow! You can't do it! Oh my gosh! I'm so sorry! I didn't know she was your wife! I never would have done that! How could I have done that? Oh no! Oh no!" He was like, "Don't, it's all good." I said, "You want to dance with my wife? It's fine. Go ahead, Pokey. You can dance with my wife. Don't worry about that." And he said, "Oh no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm so sorry." And he just kind of walked away. And I never let him live that down. He just loved life. He rode horses down Broadway, climbed trees for publicity stunts. He rode elephants. I mean, the guy did anything and everything he possibly could do to promote this program. And to see him get that win at New Mexico was touching, to say the least, and apropos at best. So, I apologize for my language there a minute ago. I know better than that. But anyway, he's one of those guys that, Hildy said he started things, and that may be a little bit off-key because this place had great football teams when they were a junior college, a college, first as a university. They've won games for a long time.
Yeah.
But Pokey took the vision to another level where he could recruit athletes that can play at a different level. And that's when I think the recruiting of serious athletic talent really became, forefront. So that's my Pokey story. And that dude loved Grannies, and I'm sure his shadow is still cast on that place.
I appreciate you, Poe. Great stuff. And it seems like Pokey Allen was kind of one of those guys, a guy you really wanted to hang out with. Let's go to Dawn, who is holding on the line. Oh, Donnie, appreciate you calling in. What you got to add on this, Dawn? Pokey Allen.
How are you guys doing today? Mike, did you go to the national championship game?
Boise State's in 1994, yes, I was there.
Okay. I went a day early, and I was just wandering around the campus there, and I went into the bookstore. And I looked at some of the stuff they had, thinking maybe I wanted to get a Marshall hat or something like that. And there was a stack of, I think it was red, Youngstown State 1994 Division I AA National Champions. And so I bought one. As I was leaving the register, the lady walked up to the gal at the register and says, "Oh, you aren't supposed to even have those out yet. We aren't supposed to sell them." And they were running over and took them out. Well, we had a guy by the name of Mr. O'Brien, I think, that played linebacker that day.
Yeah.
And I walked into the hotel from the bookstore there, and they're sitting at, a table, for lack of another thing, where Al Borges and Pokey having a cool drink. So I walked up to them and I showed them this shirt, and Pokey and Al both said, can we have that for the team meeting tonight? And I said, well, sure. Al says, I'll get it back to you tomorrow in the morning. Well, he did. Mr. O'Brien, I guess, was the MC of the team meeting, and he just ripped that thing to shreds. They brought back the shirt Al did to me, and I said, that's all right, don't worry about it. About after Pokey got, he came back, and that's when he started his doctor's appointments. So after about a week or so, I forget exactly, he comes walking into our store one day, and he's got a brand new Boise State jacket. He says, here, you more than earned that night.
Nice.
He was the greatest guy. He was so much fun to be around, and all his coaches, you know, they really loved what they were doing.
Appreciate the call. It was just
a shame. Have a good evening, guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Don. We'll run into you probably at the next BSU game. Yeah, just such a lovable guy and gone way too soon. He was in his 50s.
I believe he died when he was 53, maybe 54.
That's young, Prater.
Yes, 25 years ago I thought it was old, but looking back at it now that I'm way, way older than that, yeah.
I mean, he had years left, you know, whether it was at this school or wherever else. I mean, I look at, you know, Al Borges has been mentioned a couple of times today, who's kind of his right-hand man. You know, Pokey Allen found Al Borges at Diablo Valley Community College, and if you know the name Al Borges, let me just say a couple of schools he went to as a coach after Boise State. How about Oregon, UCLA, Cal, Indiana, Auburn, San Diego State, Michigan, San Jose State, and Auburn for a second stint? I mean, that's a heck of a career coaching at the highest level of college football, and he was a Pokey Allen guy, and he was a guy on the blue like so many other great coaches who at one point or another in their career spent time right here on the blue in Boise. It's a tremendous tree of excellence here, and I'm really glad we decided to do this today, Prater, to celebrate Pokey Allen's his one and only FBS victory. Wonderful stuff, man. Good. Prater on the ball game coming up. We got soapboxes to jump on. JP's got the news, and first and foremost, Friday morning, I know it's only Tuesday, but you have a sweet deal doubleheader. For $25, you can get $50 in gift certificates at either Costa Vida or Blaze Pizza. Remember, that's Friday, 9 a.m., KTIK.com.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. If you've got 3 minutes, we've got some self-important things to say. It's the 90-Second Soapbox with Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio The Ticket.
You know, there's a lot of examples that I'm an idiot from my girlfriend. And last night I kind of went through another one. I figured I'd share this story. Certain things we just can't speak the same language on. Last night, well, I'm the commissioner of a fantasy football league for over 20 years. And last night was trade deadline night. That's a really big deal in this league. It's your last time to make a trade. I think we probably had 17 or 18 trades made last night. Well, I'm the commissioner, so I have to be there at 1 in the morning, mountain time, when the trade deadline is officially closed. And I have to go into the system and cancel, you know, take away everybody's ability to propose trades. So I'm trying to explain this to my girlfriend. Like, babe, it's deadline night. I can't do whatever we have to do because I have to be here on this Zoom call for my fantasy football league, and I got to be the one that accepts the trades because in my league, the commissioner approves the trade. So I have to be there to approve all these stinking trades that are coming in and, you know, watching the game, you know, on Zoom, hanging out, you know, doing our thing and everything. And, you know, she just doesn't get it, man. Like, yeah, and I don't expect her to because it is really nerdy. I'm not saying I'm the cool guy. I know I'm not. Fantasy football and a lot of nerdy stuff that sports geeks do, I'm lucky I get to kiss a girl ever anyway. I get that, and I know that. But trying to explain to her, well, it's trade deadline night, and here's how it works. And she just didn't get it, guys. She just didn't get it. Get off it!
Watching Monday Night Football last night, minding my own business. I don't know, I think I was pushing a vacuum and watching football and juggling dinner. Who knows what I was doing? And then there came a commercial, and it really caught my attention, and now I'm hooked for the next 10 Tuesdays of my life. I've always said that I'm a big Tom Brady fan, and I've always appreciated Tom Brady for the excellence that he is on the football field. And it's always kind of stopped there. I really don't care about Tom Brady, the human being, but I saw the trailer last night as they played it on TV, and it really, really, really hooked me. And now maybe I do care about Tom Brady, the human being. I don't need to dive too deep into his life. I know there's been stuff in the past, and I'm not emotionally connected to the guy, and I know he's got this weird life, but I just like the way Tom Brady conducts his business. So, it starts tonight. It's The Last Dance for Michael Jordan. It's the same exact deal for Tom Brady now. It's a 10-part series. It's called Man in the Arena. It will start and will be released every Tuesday for the next 9 to 10 weeks. And it's going to profile every single one of his 10 Super Bowl appearances. The first one tonight's going to talk about his rise, his Michigan days, Drew Bledsoe, and everything that he does. From here on out, he's going to dive into the psychology and the emotions of his career, which the career part absolutely fascinates me. So I'm going to leave that out there to kind of be part of my viewing pleasure. But I also want to learn a little bit more about Tom Brady, because every time Tom Brady opens his mouth and doesn't talk about football, I kind of intrigued by what he said. And in the trailer last night, right there on national TV, he dropped 3 F-bombs. Yes, consider me a child. But I like it when it's like that because it makes it raw. I'm not giggling that he dropped an F-bomb, but I want to watch real, raw television. And that's exactly what it looks like he's going to do. Yeah, it'll be phony. It'll be a little bit of Tom Brady. I get that. But I think he's going to be as raw and as human as Tom Brady could possibly be. It looks like he's going to drop the drapes and let us into his life a little bit more. Yes, I have a man crush on Tom Brady. Yes, I absolutely love and respect what he does as a football player. And now I think I need to dive into his world as a human being. Tom Brady, thanks a lot. My next 10 Tuesdays are ruined. Data Tell Studio.
This is... Sorry about that, Prater. No, I screwed that up. You know what we really need a documentary on, though? Mike Prater juggling dinner while pushing a vacuum cleaner, watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
because no, that would I would pay money to see that.
There's no documentary for that.
I saw that trailer, and
so that starts on. It's already
available.
Channel is it on?
ESPN Plus.
Oh,
and they release it in the mornings. It's out this morning. You can go watch it this morning, and it's out there for the world to see. And 10th straight. Actually, the next 9 Tuesdays. It will be released. They're going to do the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. They're going to save that for a little finale ending. They haven't released the date of that one. But for the next 9 Tuesdays, you can watch Tom Brady.
So the series, Prater, each episode is chronicling like one of his Super Bowl trips.
Yes.
That's how they're doing. I saw the trailer last night, too, and I thought I knew everything about Tom Brady. No, I mean, there was stuff about there with his Michigan career and his high school that I don't know. And I'm with Prater. Sorry, JP, to hijack your new segment. I'm fascinated by this Man in the Arena documentary for Tom Brady. To me, it has Last Dance written all over it, and I loved The Last Dance. So, yeah, I'm in.
Will it be available to me who doesn't have ESPN Plus? Will it be on ESPN as well later?
I don't believe so.
Ah, well,
it's $4.99. It's $4.99 a month, JP.
I'm already paying for PBS.
Okay,
$4.99 a month, JP.
I got the PBS one.
I got $5 on PBS.
It's worth the price of toilet paper, okay. JP. Come on, $4.99 a month.
Real quickly, a sports update item here. College Football Playoff came out with their latest rankings. Really, no changes from last week. Same top. 7? Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Michigan State. We got Oklahoma State at number 9, BYU was 14, San Diego State, number 19 out of the Mountain West.
Yeah, still loving them. Feedback finale, it's your last chance to comment on the show today, comment on the Pokey Allen segment, all that stuff. Anything we want to hear from you on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line at 208-424-9300. We do that next. But first, also, do not forget, quickly, sweet bids still going on at KTIK.com. Lots of cool merch you can buy for very inexpensive prices right here on KTIK.
The good, the not so good. Long form, short form. Tell us who you are or be anonymous. We'll take it all. It's time for the feedback finale on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Start with an email we got from Bengal Joe. It said, "You guys never give any love to Idaho State on this show. I just wanted to remind Johnny that the Bengals have a higher program win percentage than the Vandals, 473-430. And most importantly, the Bengals have won one national championship. Vandals, zero."
What winning percentage? In what? In soccer?
I don't.
I can tell you this. That's old news. That's old history. And if you're still relying on stats from 20, 30, 40 years ago, you probably are in trouble. And I got news for you. We're going to talk about Idaho State tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about why should Idaho State football even exist tomorrow. Ooh. This is a bad program. And at 4 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to do that segment. I'm not joking. Why does Idaho State football even exist? How about that, buddy?
That leads right into my next one from Big Dave, who said, is there anyone at BSU that over the years Prater hasn't ticked off? Nice job, Prater. And he says, JP, after my blood donation next month, I'll be in the 5-gallon club. It's good to give, and I applaud you. Donate blood if you can. It's a good feeling.
Did we talk about that yesterday or today? Yesterday.
Okay. Yesterday. Let's see here. Ty from Meridian. Prater is giving me chills. I remember going to games with my dad that season. I was 9 years old, and that team made me want to start playing football. I remember you could buy a ticket, no significant tailgating, and no lines, and you could go anywhere in the stadium and find a good seat, and Coach Pokey Allen got me interested in football.
Those weren't the best teams the Boise State's ever had, but they were fun. They were fun. I mean, Ryan Akibi was really fun to watch and is an underrated wide receiver over the history around here. And Tony was kind of a gunslinger, and they had some running backs. And Joe O'Brien was one of my all-time favorite football players, still is, and love that guy. And it was a fun team to follow, a fun team to cover, even though they didn't like me.
Feels like that. It feels like the way people talk about those teams, just fun. And it wasn't such a big deal that freaked everybody out that people were able to relax a little bit with the program and not ride or die so hard. But anyway, it's cool where it is now, too.
Postal Grandpa, who was worried yesterday about our new signal in 2022, 95.3, not coming in Malheur County, but he said, FYI, 95.3 coming in strong, or a little stronger, in the 979 zip code. Nice. All the way to Vail and Harper. Keep up the good work, and I will keep listening. I have been since the 80s.
Nice.
We have a question from the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. What needs to happen for BSU to play Nevada in the Mountain West Championship game?
Well, I don't know about the Nevada side, but for Boise State to get in the Mountain West Championship game, they need San Diego State to lose. They need Utah State. I'm sorry. They need to win out, and they need Utah State and Air Force to lose a game. I got that right, right? Boise State needs to win out, and they need Utah State and Air Force to lose at least one game over these next 2 weeks. That gets Boise State into the title game. I don't know about Nevada.
Prater, pick your poison on the voodoo doll, Logan. Where would you like to put a little hurt?
Let's do the back of his neck.
Ooh,
that's gotta hurt, wow. Right? The back of his neck. I already got a butt cheek. Let's do the back of his neck. Ow!
nice, JP.
That was with authority, right there.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Brent in Nampa says, "Step on Logan's neck."
Oh.
Nah, we don't want to do that.
Well, that's double whammy. Prater pokes him in the neck, and then somebody steps on him.
We have been leaving Logan in the men's bathroom here at the radio station.
I think tomorrow.
Overnight.
Because we don't want to take any chances. Tomorrow, I think we need to go out and...
Run it. We could run it over with the...
No, yeah. I'm thinking of a good old-fashioned curb stomping.
We could do that.
I mean, that's about as torturous as you can possibly get, right? To curb stomp somebody.
And we could video it. Put it out on social media.
Yeah.
Let's see. Vandal Al congratulates Johnny on the Rock Jocks and Pop Culture segment today. One easy, right said Fred. One challenging, but easy enough for the sports fan. Number one picks. And one that I had no clue. Granted, I could quote quite a bit of the movie The Outsiders, but I had no idea who wrote it or that it was even based on a novel.
Cool. Might have mixed it up today, right? But the guy nailed it. He came
Brian, in. Brian, yes. He came in.
Was it? I thought it was Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe, yes.
And he came in and he nailed it, and you guys did a good job as lifelines, and here we go, man. That was it. Yeah.
Prater helped him. He didn't need my help. And somebody says, I played ball for BYU and played Utah with Pokey Allen, was a backup quarterback. I tackled the starting quarterback, Cal Madden, and he separated his shoulder as he fell. Cal went on for a great career outside of football, and Pokey became the starter and never looked back. I didn't realize This until my mom passed away and found a folder with the clippings that she had on the story.
I fell in love with Pokey Allen as a two-year-old. In 1964, when he was the MVP of the Liberty Bowl for the University of Utah. Starting quarterback, University of Utah, Pokey Allen, indoor football game played back in New Jersey, Atlantic City. I believe that was the first ever victory, bowl victory for the Utes. Thank you, Pokey.
Barry Melrose scheduled tomorrow. Prater is not lying. We're going to wonder why Idaho State football even exists, Bengals.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to have some fun. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Idaho Sports Talk, Prater, the ballgame.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.